Happy Tuesday. Love is the law. Be careful driving.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. That's a little slickery.
Slickery and keep your lights on.
Yes. Slickery, trickery. Okay, go ahead and...
Humble brag
about your...
Three-peat?
Your three-peat pickleballing. You're a Monday night leaguer, I give you great kudos for being on a Monday night league.
It's my favorite.
The worst night of the week for a league.
Sunday night is.
Oh, is Sunday night?
Sunday night would be the worst. Monday, smooth sailing. And my regular partner, shout out to Liz Glazer, was out of town last night. But we had made our way
Been in this league 3 years.
No, there's three different league seasons. But last year, I think we went, it's a Monday night league at Legacy Hoops, which I love. I love, love, love there in Hopkins and Woodbury.
Ahead of the pickleball curve, I'd just like to add.
Right. Minneapolis Cider Club has had leagues forever. Lucky Shots, where we were for our pickleball project down and dirty. Mm-hmm. But yes, it was touchy. We went down to the losers. I was playing with Charlie last night, and shout out to Michelle.
Are you getting used to winning now? After our project down in dirt, I mean, Steve is still physically hurting from his efforts, which that's karma.
If I've won four in a year, it's kind of like a grand slam.
Basically, it is.
But these are just my little league that I'm in. It was fun because we lost. Right, we were not hot.
You're down the first game. They won.
Down first.
The second, and came back.
Then came back and then won.
Then you came back again, much like our.
Much like our
in October.
And I was just, and so I have a little on Instagram, my little medal, and you know, thanks to everybody, because we had Liz and I both were gone different nights.
Yeah.
And so we covered, Michelle was in there, Charlie was in there, so it was fun.
Yeah, that is fun.
It was really fun. I mean, it's fun to win. I'm not going to lie.
Of course.
I'm not going to lie. That sport is fun because the thing with it is sometimes you are so off, you're like, who just played that game? And it's over.
Julia, I'm well aware I played with you for like, several days in practice. And you would say to me every time I missed one, what happened there? And I learned to give the correct answers. I took my off the ball.
I did have both hands on the grip.
And finally, the last day of the championship, and you said to me, what did you do there? And I said, I missed the... And I
you
swore...
You make me sound like I'm so mean. I was so...
Well, you wanted me... to know what I was doing.
Just where to stand.
Again, you're a Virgo, Julia, and perfection is your middle name. You and Beyonce are classic Virgos.
Funny.
No, it's true. So you were wanting to make sure I was getting the hang and I wasn't slacking off because I had done so much humble bragging about what good hand-eye coordination I had. So you were just keeping
you on track.
My eyes to the paddle.
But that's what we do. I mean, so
it's true.
A whole game last night, I forgot to look at the ball. I mean, this just happens to everybody. Grant, you know it. You take your eye off the ball in tennis, pickleball, whatever it is.
And when you do,
baseball,
you can't hit the ball.
And sometimes I'll say to myself at bowling, as I'm aiming for the arrow or the shutter.
Lori or just self?
No, I just will say, I say to my team, what happened there? I wasn't even aiming over there.
You just lose.
I took my eye off the ball.
Right, and like daydreaming or something happens in the middle of important moments.
Having sex, for example. You know, when all of a sudden somebody stops.
I love it that it's
taken to that. Yeah, wait a second. I got to write that down. No, I'm just kidding.
She was doing her Trader Joe's shopping list.
Oh, no.
I have a little.
But I did used to do that when I was unhappily in a relationship. I would just go off and think of other things.
La la la. Tomorrow I'm gonna pack.
Well,
I'm
no, I would try away. And think of dirty thoughts. I'd try and think of somebody else. You know, I try and
which is even worse.
Yeah,
I just try to think. My husband was someone else.
It might not have been. It might have been just a lover. But sometimes, you know, the brain is the greatest sex organ, Julia. Yes, everything else needs to work. But.
It really is. I've got an update. Mm. Okay, so yesterday we talked about what happened at Park Point in Duluth. And
how Mrs. Cargill is persona non grata her peeing in the Cheerios comment. And then... scolding Duluth for being small-minded when she's the one who tore down 20 houses and never told anybody.
Well, so the Duluth mayor, Roger Reinhart,
took office.
I know he did. Oh, after my friend.
After Emily.
Yes, Emily Larson, shout out to Emily Larson. But anyway.
He was asked about it?
He just, the only how this all started, he just expressed concern and wanted to know what the plans were for Park Point, which is this beautiful little island pier strip teeny that goes after the lift bridge in Duluth Harbor. Everyone should know it if you go there. So anyway, the Duluthians are angry.
Oh, yeah.
Hashtag Duluth Cheerio Challenge is out. This is in the Star Tribune this afternoon.
This is a disaster for her. I don't know why she gave this interview to the Wall Street Journal.
She's a billionaire. She doesn't care.
Yeah, I guess.
So here's what Fitgers is doing.
Okay.
Fitgers is a brewhouse classic. Been on
hotel
shopping area. Mm-hmm. Just classic. Been there forever. Has released a new lager, the Park Point People's Pint, PPPP, it's a hard one, Park Point People's Pint, and it's served with a side of a tiny bowl of Cheerios.
Oh my gosh.
And he says patrons ask for the bowl so they can pour the beer right over it.
Oh my gosh.
And hashtag Duluth Cheerio Challenge is trending, and Minnesota Food Share is asking people for their March campaign in Duluth to drop off boxes of Cheerio or other cereal. So they're making lemonade out of these lemons.
Yes, and the mayor also, when he was asked about Kathy Cargill's comment to the Wall Street Journal, that the mayor inquiring what her plan was like the expression peeing in your Cheerios, and he was asked about it. And he said, I wouldn't know why you eat pancakes.
that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's a good. That's a good.
That's pretty good. But there's drop off at the Duluth Labor Temple on London Road starting today's the 27th. I think tomorrow is. And then they're just having fun with it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, Duluthians are just like, they're not going to put up with anything. And all she ever had to do, it's like Princess Kate in Kensington Palace. Be up front. The beginning, and then you don't have to have this big story, but when you just buy and demolish and buy and demolish, and then it's found out that
it's scary for people who love that property and want to know what's happening.
And Julia, when someone is a billionaire, fourth richest family in the United States, and you have the ability
to do that,
buy the whole damn island if everybody sells. Right. You know, no one wants to, we don't want to live in a billionaire's playground.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
But anyway just but that. Yeah, good for Duluth. Mm-hmm. I know. I talked to my Uncle Ron, my stepmom, two high school gal pals, and a bartender buddy of mine. Mm-hmm. And everyone had funny choice words to say.
About the comment when she told the Wall Street Journal that the Duluth mayor could pee in his Cheerios.
Just they've been, you know, like, if you were only going to beautify and you know, build pickleball, why didn't you just tell us this good news?
People would have been delighted.
Delighted. Now she's taking her money after destroying the houses and going to some other community that is not, quote unquote, small-minded. No, it was just a PR disaster. I was just like, oh boy, you know that the Cargill family had some kind of emergency or their PR team, because they don't want any further comment on it, and they don't want that lady to give any more interviews.
No, she really
went all the way to the Daily Mail, the London Sun, Page Six.
Remind us never to tell someone to pee in their Cheerios. Right. Note to self.
Which I've never heard of.
Note to self. Yeah. Okay, when we come back, it's our story we can't get enough of, and it was quite a night last night. We'll be back. Lori and Julia here for Tressler Law. And Lori and I, together, we've been through 3 divorces, and we've been doing ads with Ann Tressler for some time now. So there are a lot of things that we've learned over the years about the divorce process.
That's right, Julia. And probably the biggest decision you'll make after the big decision to split, of course, is choosing the right divorce attorney. Don't make the same mistakes I made.
Step 1 is choosing an attorney who only practices family law. There are so many intricacies in state law when it comes to divorce, and you want someone on your side that knows how to navigate all the possible scenarios.
Don't choose an attorney who only tells you what you want to hear. You want someone to tell you how the law works and helps you set realistic goals.
And of course, choose a divorce attorney that you're comfortable working with and that you trust. We've gotten to know Ann and her team of trustworthy attorneys, and she'll help you find the perfect one for your situation and budget.
Call Tressler Law for your free 1-hour divorce consultation. Find them online at TresslerLaw.com or use my talk keyword divorce.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Lori just told me something, Grant, and you need to hear it. And and if you didn't watch The Bachelor from last night yet, this could be a spoiler alert.
Good call.
Yep. Okay, so what did you just say to me for once?
I said for once, the host, Jesse Palmer, our dude, Jesse Palmer, we call him the host hype man.
He's good at it. He's getting
said,
better.
Twice, history will be made tonight. And The Bachelor always says this, unprecedented, historic. You know, they always promise this. Always.
It's never happened before. Yeah.
This time.
He was right.
He was right. It was, history was made tonight in the fact that we've never had a bachelor, a woman. It's down to the final two roses, and Daisy goes to, what's her name?
Kelsey.
Kelsey's hotel room, and they're all glam. They're ready to go to the ceremony and find out if they're getting the final rose. And they have this whole conversation, and Daisy, who just couldn't be more amazing and wonderful, just says, I don't think it's going to be me. I felt it, and even though I'm basically heartbroken, I'm so happy for you. I mean, that's never happened. Mm-hmm. And I don't think even the best producers could have made that happen if it wasn't sincere.
Oh, you're right, Lori. In the way it showed, it was coming across like she's all dressed up and ready to go to get the final rose or not.
Both of them are.
Yeah. But she knocks on a door and we don't know that it's Kelsey.
Right.
Very much. 9 out of 10 times it would have been Joey.
The Bachelor.
The Bachelor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that was so... She was so
and they hugged
amazing.
And they were,
you know what? Joey was the best bachelor I think we've ever had.
Best, hands down.
So respectful to every single one of the women.
Yeah. I'm partly in love with him and heartbroken that he didn't choose me.
He was wonderful. And I think it was because of his experience. He was one of two ready to be chosen.
By and, Charity.
Yeah. The bachelorette before Gary, our senior bachelor.
Yes.
And it crushed him. It crushed him.
And he also, and I think it was kind of a poignant moment because, of course, on this, they always fly the family down when it's the final two. And Joey's mom had to listen to Daisy say, well, I think it's me, but I don't think it's me, because she remembered when Joey was so certain Charity was going to pick him.
And so you could feel that, and that was that rejection allowed him to be such a gentleman with everybody and so respectful. We've never had anyone respect the other sex, whatever it was, feelings, thoughts.
And we've never had somebody walk down and take the person's hand, and Daisy says to Joey, I know you're not going to pick me. I know that you're really in love with someone, even though I fell in love with you, and it's okay, and I want you to be happy. And he was just grateful that he didn't have to turn her down and list all the reasons he thought she was wonderful, but he didn't want her. She took it out of his hands. Unbelievable.
Daisy.
She should be the bachelorette.
I think they did an article in the Star Tribune today, why so many Minnesotans make it so far on the Bachelor and Bachelorette program.
Yeah.
And kindness. I mean, you really saw that. Daisy.
We've never seen that.
No, we've never seen anyone like Daisy.
Never.
She looked like a gazillion dollars last night.
All of them did.
Everyone looked beautiful.
Joey, I was falling into his green eyes, and I was asking for a life preserver.
Joey can teach all of us tennis anytime he wants.
Then we get the best line we've ever had in Bachelor history. in the rejection van. Now, normally in the Sprinter rejection van,
there's only but sobs and sobs.
Well, yeah, why it's all, not why me? Not me? And, you know, why it's really, me? It's really quite, you know, whatever. And we get the most poignant, incredible line in Bachelor history. Grant has done the job of editing for us. Here's Daisy. She's in the Sprinter rejection van, driving out of the long jungle road from Secrets in Tulum, and with the producer and camera. And here's what she says.
It really, really hurts, but now I can leave with my head held high because I gave it my all, and I'm really proud of myself. And the thing is, like, if I can love the wrong person that much, imagine how much I can love the right person.
Okay, so she sounds like she's in a tunnel going through a waterfall, going over a bridge.
Yes.
But she basically said,
the thing is, like, if I can love the wrong person that much, imagine how much I can love the right person. I mean, that's a bachelorette intro if I ever heard one. And it's also, it rings so true because we've all been in love with the wrong person. Mm-hmm. And even when you're in love with the wrong person and it ends, it still hurts. And so that's such a great way of looking at it. And
she's lovely.
I couldn't believe she is not the Bachelorette. They picked a woman I didn't even recognize.
Well, we knew her.
Well, I knew her, but she got eliminated like 3 weeks ago, which in a 9-week show, that's half the season.
Well, here's the deal.
So anyway, but supposedly Daisy said she wasn't ready to do that.
She wasn't ready.
So I'll take her at her word.
Let's get the rumor mill started.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because remember I told you guys this weeks ago.
Oh, they panned to Gary and he was crying.
Okay, let's start. So first of all, Leslie,
Gary,
FEMA,
I'm like, why are you crying? But then I was crying.
Okay, Leslie looked gorgeous last night.
Beautiful.
And
Sandra, and then Susan Knowles and Kathy, who are Kris Jenner and Caitlyn, who they both resemble.
And they're going to be starting their own podcast,
The Golden Podcast. And they were describing a weak tea version of our show. It was kind of painful.
It was, but
I know.
They're excited about it. But watching Gary with Teresa just looks so tiny and petite next to him. And I just was looking for, body language. I was looking, are they holding hands? Are they going into each other? I was just, they didn't give us enough time to make any assumptions.
I was glad the camera lingered on Kelsey's dad. He's a hot stud muffin who needs to
Leslie
be on.
Leslie FEMA, you need to go and meet him.
He's the goal. He needs to be a contestant on the Golden Bachelor, because if he's not picked, he could be the Golden Bachelor.
Oh, yeah,
he is a nice looking guy, and I got a feeling he owns a motorcycle, which is going to make him just several levels more attractive.
Oh, you're so funny.
It's true.
Jeff, are you listening?
I have a feeling he owns a motorcycle.
He's got that look. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's got the mustache everything. Oh, yeah. He was crying. I mean, he was really sweet. And I was a little worried that Kelsey is only 25, but, you know, she was like 21 when her mom died. Yeah. And I think you probably grow up when your mom, if you lose a mom or dad at a young
age.
What
does she do?
I don't know, dental technician.
Okay, so
I don't know.
She's in the dentistry world. And
I don't know. I'm making that up. I'm throwing that off the top.
But I'm going to say this. This Bachelor experience, I think, is the best one because everyone was generous and kind with each other. After Caddy, some moments that happened, the women were generous and kind to each other.
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah, I thought it was good. Grant, what do you got? Grant's raising his head.
This makes sense, too. This may be why she's so, I mean, she's a junior project manager, so she at work, but she also grew up on U.S. military base in Germany.
There you go.
And that's what I think made her grow up a little bit.
Yeah, she has to, like you. You got to move all the time, meet new friends. You got to have a big personality and not let anything get to you.
Basically.
Because your bleep doesn't stink every time you go to a new school.
Yeah. That takes a lot.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there we go.
Anyway, it was fun. But I feel like the Golden Bachelor did prime people for a good season, and lucky for them that they had cast Joey, and he's as great of a guy as he was.
It's beyond.
Because it brought interest back to The Bachelor that had gone away.
I hadn't watched it, and you're like, Joey, you don't have to watch it. And I'm like, I will.
You know,
I loved
it. Because Charity was a wonderful bachelorette. I thought she was one of the best bachelorettes, and she was there with Doten.
So
her
cute.
Boyfriend. Anyway, very satisfying.
It's all on Hulu.
Yeah. And Leslie was featured at the end. The camera was on her. She was right front and center.
Will she golden be our bachelorette. Next golden bachelorette?
Yeah. Why would they push her to the front?
There you go.
We'll be right back.
I'm Gary. I'm 72, and I'm your first ever golden bachelorette.
I hope we see Leslie sitting in that golden bachelorette chair.
That she'd be fun. Perfect. All right. Hey, gang, it's Lori and Julia here for Hammernix Flooring Solutions, your one-stop flooring and hard surfaces location. Their showrooms are gorgeous. We just love working with Ted and Lynn and their family. And when you go there, everyone feels like family. You are treated with such respect. You know, go into one of the Hammernix three locations in the Twin Cities. They're in Hudson, they're on Rice Street in St. Paul, and they're in New Hope off Bass Lake Road in 169. Their showrooms are showstoppers. The best lighting, so you can really see the different wood grains, the different types of wood colors, different carpet colors, all the beautiful hard surfaces and countertops. They've got interior designs there to help you work within any budget. They've got, you know, kind of a value area as well if you need some remnant things for basements or some areas like that. They are so great. And the new hardwood flooring division has taken off like gangbusters. You're going to love working with the Hammernix team. Hammernix.com for more information. All right, gang, thanks for hanging out with us. Please drive safely and make sure your lights are on, because I did notice today some people don't have them on, and boy, you cannot see. You just can't see.
No, not at all.
So please do that. Do yourself a favor. Drive slow. We'll keep you company. Mm-hmm. We'll keep you company. Lori's kind of excited about this tennis movie coming out because did they have the press for it last night? Challengers?
Okay. Challengers. Yeah. Yes. This is the movie featuring Zendaya. It's about one of your favorite topics, tennis. The movie premiere started. The press tour is starting in Sydney, Australia. Down under, and she is wearing, Grant posted it, the most gorgeous green tennis-themed gown. It almost looks like it's the shadow of a ball player throwing a ball up in the air, and it's this sort of greenish, beautiful, it's a sequin, and it's by Lowe, which is the designer we saw on the red carpet quite a bit this season, but it was worn by Sandra Huller, whatever, Anatomy of Fall.
Yeah, the French lady. The points.
That was Schiaparelli. Oh. Greta Lee wore it. It's very sleek. It's kind of like, it's a very good new designer brand, Lowe. A lot of people like Lowe. Okay. So that's who made the dress. And of course, she's styled by La Roche. The shoes match. It's a sparkly shoe that matches, and her hair is lightened a little bit, and she's a hanger. She's small.
She's flat.
She's small-chested.
Thin waist.
Us small-chested women like to refer to it as small-chested as opposed to flat.
Okay, small-chested.
Yes, it is clavicle cleavage.
CC squared. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, and her leg got thigh-high split because she's got these long legs, and she's with her two little white guys, and before you yell at me, that is how she refers to them in the movie.
Yes, she does.
Because it's her game, her rules, and this movie is directed by Luca Guadagnino, who did Call Me By Your Name, and it is about this tennis player.
Tasha?
What's her name?
Tasha.
Tasha, and she's having a love affair with both of them.
Well, let me read it.
And she's a big tennis player, and I think we might have menage a trois.
Mm. Well, what you have is she's a former tennis prodigy. She turns into a coach, is married to a tennis champion who's on a losing streak. Her strategy for her husband's redemption takes a surprising turn when he must face off against her former best friend, his former best friend, and her former boyfriend. Unfortunately for me, I saw these previews and I'm supposed to be excited about it, but neither of the men do anything for me.
Well, Josh O'Connor played the hot young Prince Charles in The Crown.
Is that what we're calling him?
Seasons one.
We're calling that hot?
Well, he was hot. Prince Charles was hot in the 70s. Julia, everybody is hot in their 20s.
You know I'll see this.
But Josh Ken is good looking. I mean, he brought a debonair handsomeness to King, you know, to Prince Charles that he had, ears and all. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes big ears are considered an erotic sign for people who want something to hold on to.
This is good. Here we go.
And then the other guy, Mike Faced, he is what I would call Jolie Lade.
Okay.
Which is
for the rest of the people listening, it means
pretty ugly. But it sounds so much better in French.
I think we should keep it to the French terminology. 100%.
He's got that Jolie Lade. I've seen pictures of him where he's got interesting features, you know. So and all together, it makes him look Jolie Lade. There's a strange attractiveness. It's like, you know, someone with a slightly crossed eye or a buck tooth.
And he's handsome in a very petite male way.
Yes.
He's from Columbus, Ohio. He went to Broadway. He was in Dear Evan Hansen.
Yeah.
He's just more of a petite look.
Yeah, I think you're going to be able to get
this is rated R.
Yo, Julia, we are getting sex in this. She is going to have sex with both of them. It's going to be a menage a trois. It'll be real interesting to hear all the entertainment shows those questions.
As you watch the trailer,
the preview, yeah,
it gives you, I don't know, as a person myself who that type of situation makes me nervous.
So uncomfortable.
Oh, it doesn't make me, it's so horny. It makes me feel very comfortable.
They look hot. I've seen it.
Trust me, I
saw this at the movie theaters in Christmas when I saw the Willy Wonka movie in the preview.
And it didn't give you a horny edge?
Nope.
Really?
Mm-mm. No.
Well, it's... I feel horny just looking at the pictures.
Lori, you're horny with the thought of a three.
The
Jolie Lade. Wow.
Anyway, look forward to the steamy scenes and the complicated dynamics and Zendaya becoming full-blown movie star in this starring role. Her game, her rules.
Tell us.
Okay, this is her movie.
Lori's quoting. She got the PR sheet this morning. She's all in. What's the release date? April 24th?
April 26th.
And it's rated R.
Rated R.
And we don't know any reactions if it's supposed to be good or bad yet.
Oh, I think that I think the buzz on it is good. Okay. They're spending money to send her to...
It was supposed to be released last fall, but because of the strike and because the stars couldn't go out and promote it, they didn't.
What is the point of having Zendaya in a movie if she can't be sent around the world looking gorgeous, doing interviews, and she is so good on the red carpet? A movie like this needs the stars to appeal to their people and talk about it. They need to be front and center. So I approve of this message.
Well, in why we saw Zendaya and her boyfriend Tom Holland at Indian Wells, the tennis tournament last weekend.
Leaning
into this.
The tennis thing.
Uh-huh.
And he's got this director, Luca, has a phenomenal track record right now.
My name is Luca.
Have every right to look forward to a steamy, horny movie about tennis. I am shocked that you are not doing cartwheels over this movie.
I feel like it's more about relationships than tennis.
Julia, we're going to get tennis and we're going to get
the Miami Open is going on right now, if anyone cares.
You and my brother.
Left turn.
Listen, I know. I'm just telling you.
All right,
so you're very excited about this.
I'm very excited about this movie, and they're going to go to London. I mean, we're going to have a Hollywood. They're going to go to New York. It's just going to be great. And if this is what she's wearing and is Sydney, Australia, imagine what she's going to wear in New York City and London.
You know, tennis, what did we call it? Tennis core has taken over in the past like 2 years because everyone's wearing the white pleated skirts. Like Barbie court took over. Tennis court did take over. Britney leans into it pretty well.
Yes.
The tennis court seem, you know, look, and the white cute skirts, and everyone's kind of wearing it more preppy.
Pleated
skirts, white tops, the V-necks, preppy look.
I noticed that in Hawaii, in this little enclave that we see, a little strip of a beach, which probably there are people that might live there that would have a lot of money. I noticed that a lot of the ladies that were all walking in pleated
Everyone's wearing them.
Skirts, yeah.
The thought of wearing one of those just says, oh, do you want to add an inner tube under your skirt and look like you've gained 20 pounds?
Pleats are...
not forgiving.
No. And you know what? I ended up going. They have had this little shop over... not at the big, big shopping area.
We're back in Hawaii.
Back in Hawaii. It felt like too much too much pressure for me in my island vibes.
To I need be to, with other people.
It just to be in a big, area. The Queen's shops where it's like a outside yeah, Rosedale. Yeah, yeah. Okay, it felt okay. too big. So there's this other one closer to me that has like maybe 8 great shops, which mm-hmm. that's like, that's a perfect little outside shopping mall for yeah. this one. And this,
for petite moi.
Yeah, but they mm-hmm. had Lily Pulitzer skirts with the skirts for pickleball or tennis.
Gorgeous.
No pleats. And I bit the bullet and bought one, Julia. Even
you
though
did
was,
not.
I did.
They're gorgeous.
I figured, you know, I love probably you're going to get me to play pickleball. And
You think you're going to come out there? Do you think I'm wanting you?
Yes, I do. I do think that you would love that. And but anyway,
I think we should have a rematch with Donna and Steve.
No, I was shocked at the price. They were like over $100.
Oh, Lori, hello.
Yeah, well, I mean,
Lily Pulitzer, first of all, every Lululemon product okay, is $100.
But I've gotten nice, those kinds of skirts, like that beach skirts with the, you know, for $40 at PacSun and other places.
Yeah.
I don't really need to have the name.
But did you buy the name?
I bought that one because
it's so damn cute.
They only had smalls at the beach store that I was.
And what are you, an extra small now or
no,
zero?
No, I like a medium. I want a medium. I want something. I don't want my booty hanging out.
Okay. I don't want my booty hanging out.
And she is not flat chested. She is small chested.
Small breasted.
Oh, breasted. I can't keep up with all this stuff today. All right. Should we take a quick break? Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, let's get a little travel news in. Hey, everybody. It's Lori and Julia here for Learning Rx with 7 metro-wide locations. And what is Learning Rx? It is a scientifically proven one-on-one brain training program that after people of all ages go through the initial one-hour assessment, which is a nationally recognized test, the Woodcock-Johnson test, after you go through that test, you are shared results of the cognitive parts of your brain. What is working great? What is not working of your loved one's brain?
It'll make so much sense to you because you go like, oh, that's why they can't.
Read, or that's why they can't. Math is new every day, or that's why they can't turn in their homework on time. They can't get organized. So it talks about all those cognitive parts of the brain, and the only way to develop those is through brain training, cognitive brain training, and it's a one-on-one game, and they're fun games, and the kids get their own instructors. It's just, it works so well. Call them today. Mention us.
The vacation. What an absolutely splendid idea.
Low J's Travel Tuesday. Vacay news and notes for you.
We should take a trip.
Let's go.
Let's take a trip.
Well, we're going to Iceland.
Yeah, we are going to Iceland. But Minneapolis St. Paul International Airport was named the best airport in North America.
Again.
Third straight year and 7th out of 8 years. Of course, Jason does the endorsement now for MSP Airport. And he does a good job. We were glad that if we had to lose that one, it went to somebody who travels a lot and loves the airport.
And loves the airport like we do. I absolutely love it.
And I mean, it is. They survey about 600,000 travelers at 400 airports in 95 countries. I filled one out once.
It's a big deal.
Yeah, and so it's cool. So that's very great. And then I wondered because last Sunday night when I landed at 12:45 a.m.
Yes.
You know, I was so excited Friday afternoon that I was leaving out of the G21 and I could go to the fancy new Delta Lounge.
Oh, yeah.
All the way at the end.
It's the one at the very... I know, Lori.
But, I mean, you would only go down there unless you were looking for exercise. I mean, otherwise you just go to the lounge.
Yeah, in the gorgeous new Delta Sky Lounge.
Land at 12:45. G22, you know, and oh, great, you know.
Because, I love getting those extra steps, though. I always
but not at
that
one in the
no,
morning.
No, that's a tough time.
I wondered, what are the airports that have the longest in the U.S. the longest treks to gates?
Oh, that's a good one. Okay, all right, I'm curious.
So the airports that have the shortest walks.
Okay,
Bozeman, Burbank, California, the Hollywood Burbank Airport. That is just delightful to fly out of there. Mm-hmm. Southwest is the airline usually. Okay. Lihue Airport in Kauai is still quite tiny and is smaller than the one on Kona on the Big Island. Then you have to go to Middleton, Pennsylvania and fly into a place called Harrisburg.
I know that one.
That's a small airport. Westchester, which I know you've flown in there, White Plains, New York.
Yes, I have.
That's a small airport.
Yes, it is.
And the smallest one, Bluegrass Airport in Lexington, Kentucky.
I'm surprised Bozeman isn't on there.
Well, it's all these places are bigger than Bozeman.
Yeah.
Bozeman has added the airports with the longest walk.
Tell me.
DFW is number one.
Oh.
I thought for sure it'd be Atlanta.
I almost thought Detroit too.
Detroit's number six.
Okay. That's Dallas Fort Worth is who DFW is.
Yeah. DFW.
American Airlines.
Washington Dulles.
Okay.
Is a very good long one. Houston, George W. Bush Airport in Houston can be a nightmare. Then Denver, because they built that fancy new airport.
Yeah, that everyone.
Huge.
It's huge.
And then JFK in New York is number five.
Mm-hmm. And so MSP doesn't even make it because it's so funny because they.
It's like four walkways.
Yeah, and the gates keep coming out. They're almost out to Highway 5 or 494. Yeah. And it's how much further can we go?
Yeah.
But that's so cool that they want it again, and they deserve it because that airport is amazing. Let me give you some things, some flight stuff right now. Every Tuesday, Sun Country Airlines, if you sign up for their flight deals, it'll come into your inbox, and Canada is on sale right now. And if you've never been to Vancouver, it's a gorgeous, gorgeous city. You could go on May 10th for $119 one way.
Wow.
So, dirt cheap. Toronto.
And then you could go to Victoria. You could go to Bouchard Gardens.
You could go to, where did I go skiing out there?
Whistler.
Whistler's.
Well, it's not going to be open in May.
Yeah, but it's beautiful out there. It's just beautiful out there. Toronto, which is a gorgeous city on the water, on April 26th for $99 one way.
Very good.
And Montreal. You can go.
Where they would know the expression "Jolie la day."
Montreal.
Comment allez-vous, jolie la day?
The first and on the 26th of April, and that's just for $114 one way. I mean, these are all posted. Mm-hmm. If you go to suncountry.com, of course, they go to Terminal 2. I had one other thing, Lori, because we talked about this last year, the rising prices that these top tourist cities want to add an extra surcharge for tourism so they can keep up things. Like we talked about how Venice was going to be adding a surcharge.
$10 per person.
And that's how these are little, but this is what's happening in Japan. Mount Fuji has added a surcharge.
For the trash.
For just, it's too congested.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also, Japan's rail passes, tourist rail passes are up 70%.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, the Plaza de España in Seville, Spain, that's going to go up. Mm-hmm. You're going to have an entry now. Mm-hmm. It was free before. The Louvre. And has raised their ticket prices by a third.
I'm telling you, do not go to the Louvre.
It's because of the Olympics are there this summer.
Yeah, but oh god,
the Louvre is
the most disappointing museum you'll go to in your life.
And then,
have a specific
plan.
Understand how big the Louvre is. It's a palace. It used to be a palace, and it has several wings. Okay, you can walk. That's bigger than any of these airports put together.
It is.
So you kind of have to go, if you love Impressionist, you can skip the Louvre and go to the Dorsay or the Lingerie.
You're right.
Or you could go to Monet's
beautiful thing.
Son's home or his place in Giverny. Or you could email me and I could give you some free travel.
I know, Lori is speaking French. It's so lovely.
Can I tell you, because we've got the solar eclipse, and I actually know people who are going to Indiana with their kids because they're on spring break.
Yes.
To look.
Yes.
To
yes.
see
Tell
the
me.
Solar
Tell
eclipse.
Me.
Okay, so it's April 8th is when it is, and I just want you to know that the FAA is, offering guidance to all the commercial airlines and private aircraft ahead of the Great North American Eclipse.
Oh, wow.
And I'll just remind you what an eclipse is, you asked, Julia. Travel question. It's when the moon will pass between the earth and the sun. And that's not a song. But the moon will pass between the earth and the sun and will travel a total path of totality across 13 U.S. states. And for you know, it's going to be high volume along the eclipse path, and there will be delays. There were some airlines that were telling people ahead of time, what are the routes you want to fly on American, Delta, United, right, that will be going by.
Right.
So anyway, they're informing the air people of the world and air traffic and airports along the world about everything that will be going on from 6 in the morning on April 7th to April 10th. They, mm-hmm, they got to be, people might have to circle in the air. And again, like there are 13 states that you can go to. So like there's this little town in Indiana that is gearing up because they are in the direct. They have.
Remember last time it was in California or someplace, somewhere out there, Nevada. Because I remember Dr. Crutchfield went with all of his,
yes,
kids. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. That's happening.
So anyway, pilots have a thing called notice to airmen. They've not changed it. Okay. You know, it's an old acronym, NOTAMs, they call, mm-hmm, them, to carefully check that notice about what the procedure is going to be for flying those days.
Oh, I like that. Okay, yeah. Because, yeah. Anyway. How do you see?
Well, yeah, just...
It's a total... And Bonnie Hart or Bonnie Fuller or whoever sang, it's a total eclipse of the heart.
They had a big... They had her sing on, like, Good Morning America right as it was eclipsing.
She'll be singing again.
I hope so.
Mm-hmm. She'll be singing away again. I know. All right, what else is...
I have one more... I have one more travel thing? I've got one more tip. If you're traveling to an international destination and you're wondering what is the best dates to buy your flights,
mm-hmm,
and it would be 7 to 2 months before your travel date. So that means, you know, if you wanted to travel in July and August, you've missed your window because you would have bought those tickets.
Seven. All right. Say that all again. Okay. Okay.
So if you, two to seven months, like if you're planning on going to Europe this summer,
okay,
You better go to Google Flight Tracker, call a travel agent, see what you can do, because now you're in the squeeze zone. Paris, forget it. It's going to be, you don't even want to go there during the Summer Olympics if you don't have a plan to go there already. It'll be just too crowded, too expensive, probably no rooms.
You're probably right.
And so anyway, 2 to 7 months prior for international destinations. So... like if you were looking, you wanted to book an international for the holiday season, you're going to get the best prices between April and October.
Love it.
And you could go to Google Flight Tracker and you could track something and it will tell you prices are high right now.
And it tells
Would you,
you
like
really,
an alert?
Yes, I love those. That's the best alert. The
but
Google
I also
Flight
like the idea of a travel agent, darling.
We love a travel agent. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.